Praise God, and praise God that we thank God for another good morning that God has given us. And today we praise God for the opportunity to look at His Word. We are in the book of Romans, and we are in chapter 16. This happens to be the last chapter of the book of Romans. And as we know, we are aware that the book of Romans is a letter written by Paul, and he's writing to the church in Rome. And remember, these were believers who, you know, remember when the believers were scattered during the persecution, they went to every place and they preached the word of God. And likewise, since Rome was the center of the known world, Rome was in power, then it was a political place. There was a lot of authority. Caesar was there. There was a lot of conflict for the church. Great persecution eventually breaks out as well in Rome later on. And Paul longs to see them. He has been desiring to go and see them, but he was like, first, let him first take the gifts that are given by the Macedonian church and Achaia church to Jerusalem to help those in need. And remember, we've seen the example of Christ who, you know, he came as a servant both to the Jew and to the Gentiles to bring salvation. Likewise, Paul himself considers the grace that was given to him as an apostle to the Gentiles to serve one another. And yesterday we were able to see how Romans chapter 15 calls us to serve one another, to be servants of Christ. And we have seen the righteousness of God that is revealed, that is from faith, from first to last. And this righteousness is the one that where God calls us righteous. He imputes righteousness to us. The example of David, the example of Abraham, who God credits righteousness, and David, who discovers the blessedness to whom the Lord does not count his sin against. And this right standing that we are brought in with God gives us access to the Father. It enables us to be reconciled to God. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We are given victory over sinful nature. We are given the Holy Spirit, who gives us new life, who guarantees our inheritance, who makes us and grows us into sonship, that we become sons of God. And creation that has been groaning starts to see the manifestation of the sons of God. We've also seen the blessing that God gives us through helping us, you know, to be called to His glory, to His eternal glory. You know, God predestined us, He loved us, and nothing in this creation, nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it's based on the basis of this understanding that we've also seen that He has love for the Israelites too, even though they are fallen away at this point. There shall still be a remnant that shall be saved by grace, because it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God will show them mercy, because to them they have the patriarchs. The promises are theirs. And we Gentiles have to know that we cannot be proud over the Jews, because we are wild olive shoots that are just engrafted. Think of now the original branches being re-engrafted into their own tree. And so, and God is able to make them stand. And God calls us, in view of God's mercies, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And in the second part of the letter, we've seen how we've been called to walk in love, that the law of the New Testament believer is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when we walk in love, we fulfill the entire commands of God and the commands of the new creation. Everything is summed up in love. How we should walk with one another. We do not stumble one another. How we should serve one another. And in this chapter, we are able to see Paul give his salutations to the church. He sends his greetings to all these servants of God, all these ministry partners. And we see the blessedness of doing ministry with others. You know, many times when we think of Paul, we are often called to the point where we recognize him as, you know, one of the greatest apostles, because he writes 13 books of the 27 books in the New Testament, almost half of the New Testament is written by Paul, and his letters are weighty. They have a lot of doctrine, and even you remember Peter himself says that when we think of the letters of Paul, that many unstable people distort to their own destruction. So it's very possible to get lost in if you don't fully understand the doctrine of righteousness, the doctrine of salvation, that we are called to grace, we are called by grace, we are called into righteousness. But this righteousness is not a license to sin, but it is an enabler that enables us to walk in holiness. And God calls us to walk in sanctification, in purity, you know, in love. And we are given that divine enablement because the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our weaknesses to pray according to the will of God, is granted to us. And we have this hope. God grants us hope in salvation. But you see, ministry is not an individual game. It's just like sports. Sports are never individual effort. It's always a team effort. And in as much as we recognize so much of Paul, we can see that he himself recognizes the effort. He recognizes the blessing of working with fellow co-workers. You can remember even from the point when he was sent. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, "Separate for me Barnabas and Saul, you know, for the work to which I have called them," you know. And they go as a team. They take John Mark, they take Silas. You know, there was a big team and a team that worked together with him. And not only just him that went, also the churches that sent him, the church in Antioch that sent him, the church in Jerusalem, the churches in the various places where he went, in Ephesus, in Macedonia, in Achaia, you know, in Lycra, in Lydia, in all these places. There were churches that were established, Thessalonica, Corinth, and even in Rome. There were those that were involved in the ministry. They were, from time to time, they will send him resources that will aid in his ministry. Paul himself also worked as a tent maker, where he made tents. He provided for his own needs according to his hands, and even the needs that were sent to him, most of the money and resources that were sent to him, he was using it to minister and to send it to the church in Jerusalem, to the saints in Jerusalem. And so we see the life of this man who is not alone, who does not work alone, he who has served God together. And it calls us to the place of humility, to know that when God has called us, he sends us the right helpers. He sends us men to walk along with us. You know, one of the evidences that God has called you or God has sent you to a place is that he sends you help. He does not send you alone. Moses, when he was sent, Aaron was sent to accompany him, and he had that support. And likewise too, Christ had the support of the disciples. Even when he was about to go to the cross, Elijah and Moses came and encouraged him and spoke with him. Remember how angels ministered to him. So in this walk of God, we are never alone. And we can learn from Paul how he recognizes the fellow servants of God. You can think of Epaphroditus, who was sent just to minister to his needs, who almost died, you know, in the book of Ephesians, that he recognizes. And now, even now in the book of Romans, he sends his greetings to the beloved church in Rome. He recognizes their efforts. He can see the labors, their labors in the Lord, what they have done in the gospel, and it is recognized. And it shows an important principle. Let us value people. Let us value those that work in the gospel alongside us. Let us know that it is their support that helps work to go forward. It is their love. It is their prayers that supports the ministry. It is not possible to do everything from start to finish alone. There is no superstar alone in the things of God, but in ministry, it is a team sport. It is a team effort. And God has called us to interdepend, to depend on one another and to stand together, because together we stand. And likewise, as even Paul recognizes all these people, there are also those who left. Remember Demas, who loved the world, has forsaken. Remember, think of the conflict that they had with Barnabas.
and they had to split because of John Mark, and even John Mark who left the mission field. So there is also discouragement in the mission field. There are also those who do them harm. You know, when he says, remember the Alexander, the metal worker, who has done me a great deal of harm. So in this walk of God, in this walk of salvation, God shows us that he loves us. God sends us help us to walk with us. Some come for a season, and when their season is done, they move on. Maybe they feel that you are not as deep as they expect, or they move to another ministry looking for something else, or they go back to the mother church. All this is in order, because at the end of the day, God sends help in season at the right time, and when the season is done, release people in love and allow them to go and serve God where God has called them. But one of the beauty of the things that we see is that Paul established his team. He built the people. He established churches. They were meeting in homes. And he was never challenged by the giftings of his team members. You can think of Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila, you can think of Apollos. You can think of all this way. He tells them, do not quarrel over men, but know that each of these people, I plant, Apollos watered, but it is God that gives the increase. So this is just a general message that we see in Romans 16. And then he concludes on, you know, salutations and calling people to trust in God who is able to establish them. So we're going to read, and by the grace of God, we will see what are these aspects and who are these people, who are these servants of God, both male and female, who stood with Paul, who supported Paul in various ways, and who are the believers that were based in Rome, both those of low standing and also those of high standing. So Romans 16, verse 1, it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Sencherai, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many, and of myself as well. So you can see, as he sends this letter, he sends a recommendation to of Phoebe. So that means most likely as the letter was going, either it was being taken by Phoebe or by others, but Phoebe was going alongside. And he says, I commend to you our sister. She is a sister. She is a woman of God. And she's a servant of the church at Sencherai. That means it's possible that she was leading that church, she was, or a deaconess. That means that you see how both men and women, even in the time of Paul, were being involved in the work of ministry. And the Bible says that I send her, that she, you know, as she has served me, as she has served the church, may she also be served. The Bible tells us that he that refreshes others, will they themselves be refreshed. And then you say, greet Prisca, which is Priscilla, short form of Priscilla, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks and as well. Think of Aquila and Priscilla. They were fellow workers with Paul. Remember, they were also tent makers like him. And when he, remember, I think when he was moving from one of the places to another, he calls Aquila and Priscilla to come and join him because they were tent makers with him. And he says, these people, they risked their necks for Paul's life. And he gives thanks to them for, and even all the churches, the Gentile churches give thanks to them. Aquila and Priscilla are those who found Apollos. Think of Apollos. Apollos was a young man who was fervent in spirit, who was preaching. But then when Aquilas and Priscilla had him, they invited him and they explained to him the word of God more clearly. And so Apollos became mighty in speech, mighty fervent in spirit. He had a greater understanding. So many times when you find even those who do not see clearly as you see, invite them over and show them a more clear path. And you can see these are fellow workers with Paul. And it says, greet also the church in their house. You can see how Aquila and Priscilla, they loved God, they opened up their homes, and their homes were the churches. And it says, greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Epaphras was the first fruits of Asia. And Paul sends his greetings to them. And greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known, or they are noteworthy among the apostles. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. So Paul recognizes Andronicus, he recognizes Junia, who was a female, and there are versions that put it in that apostles, you know, that Andronicus and Junia, because Junia was female, as a female apostle, but I will not get much into that, but he recognizes them that they are Israelites, that's what I mean, they are my kinsmen, and they are my fellow prisoners. Can you imagine? Paul recognizes even those who have shared in the gospel, who have met in homes, who have also enjoyed the comforts, you know, of the state. They call it the prison, my fellow prisoners in the gospel. And because to him, Paul was like, even though I am in chains, the gospel is not chained. The gospel is not in chains. Though they kill the body, but inwardly, they cannot kill the soul. Inwardly, we are being renewed in the inner man. Greet Ampliatus, verse 8, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stasis. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. You can look for interesting names. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Look at how Paul found brothers and sisters and mothers and fellow workers and servants of God. And he can even say he has been a mother to me. You can think of that, Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Greet also his mother. Think of Timothy as well. When you speak of Timothy, I can see the same faith that was in your grandmother Eunice and in your mother Lois that still also lives in you. And think of, you know, when verse 14 says, greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Look at all these greetings. You know, there's always this communities that love sending greetings, and on the radio they will send greetings. I'm greeting this person, I'm greeting this person. So at times some pastors crack this joke that Paul must have been these guys who love to send greetings. But you see, it's not that he loved, it is a recognition of this service, recognition of service, recognizing the great work that is done by others too. Yes, we celebrate Paul, but also Paul recognizes that he did not do this work alone. It was by the grace of God, but God sent him help. I pray that God will send you helpers in your work of ministry. I pray that God shall send you the right help, the right destiny helpers, those who shall support you physically, those who shall support you with their presence in service, those who shall support you financially, that God shall not leave you alone. You are not alone. And indeed, if God sends you to stand with someone, support them fully. Don't support with the view of what you're going to get, but look, stand and see, connect to that part. Connect to that ministry. Know that it is, you are there for a reason. You are there for a season. And God does not make mistakes in sending his people in certain places. And he tells them to greet one another with a holy kiss. And this is not a call for immorality, but remember, in this time in their culture, they will greet one another with kiss. And this is, I mean, like their cultures, like you can see where people, it's a normal thing. I mean, this, the pecs, and so he tells them to greet one another. And so it's more of greetings. And verse 17 tells us, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by their smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So what are his final instructions and greetings? He's telling them, you know, there are guys who love to cause divisions and create obstacles, which is different to the doctrine I taught you. Avoid them. Because such people who love to cause divisions, their issue is just their appetite. What is their appetite? Their appetite is pride. They want to show that they are so spiritual, or that they are so deep in the Word of God, or that they have grown, that everyone else is not superior in knowledge to them. Now, because of that, they build for themselves disciples among them, and they call men to, you know, to worship them and to be after them. And Paul is telling the church, avoid such people, because they have smooth talk, they have flattery, and they deceive the hearts of those who are naive, which is unfortunate. But you see, he recognizes, and he tells them actually an innocent and a good word here, that be wise to what is good. You know, when God even made Adam and Eve, he gave them everything good. He did not even want them to have the knowledge of good and evil. Everything was good, and it was good that if they stayed innocent, they would have been well. But because they desired to eat from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, then they sinned. God is telling us, be innocent concerning evil. Yes, there's so much evil in the world. Yes, there's so much things that are happening. You know, at times it is not even good to listen to some news, to some bad news, because it corrupts your spirit. But when you are focusing on the goodness of God and you're focusing on the greatness of God, you are wise to what is good and stay innocent to what is evil. I mean, there's a place where he says that it is even unfathomable to think of what those who are in wicked, they do in darkness. Don't even be a party of it. Be innocent to evil. And God tells us that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Remember, Christ already defeated the devil. He put him under his feet and he has elevated him for the church. But you see, there is a promise and there is a manifestation of the promise. There is a reality and there is a manifestation. There is a revelation of that reality. When we see ourselves, when we see still parts of us, and that's why it says that even as to now, we still see not that victory. But it does not mean that that victory is not given to us. But the Bible tells us that the Lord will soon crush Satan under your feet for you. So as we persist in the things of God, as we persist in our prayer, as we persist in our commitment to the Word of God, then the enemy is crushed under our feet. Verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, so you can see it's Tertius who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greets you. You got all the servants of God. Timothy, he calls him my son, my fellow worker. who has labored with me in the gospel. Tertius is the one who writes the letter. Remember, Paul dictates the letters and they are written. And you can think of Gaius. So those are part who are with him, who is host to him. And Gaius was even persecuted. You can even think of, you know, of the persecution that went to them as they hosted the church. All this played a part in spreading the gospel. And everyone who serves God receives their reward. Verse 25, as he finishes, he says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you or to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been revealed or disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." So, what is the gospel message? It has been a mystery that Christ in us, the hope of glory, that Christ's death has brought salvation to all, first to the Jew, then to Gentile, that to anyone who believes in him, anyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord, they shall be saved. This is a mystery of salvation, that we are granted righteousness by faith. God calls the things that are not as if they were. And through this message, we are brought to the obedience of faith. And he concludes by saying, "To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." Paul returns the glory to God. Let us learn continually, each and every day, even as we walk, even as we drive, even as we sit on our desk, just say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." It's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God that we are alive. Let us conclude in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have been speaking to us over these past weeks in the book of Romans, and indeed it has been your grace, your mercy. You have taught us of the importance of righteousness. You have taught us what it is that you have done for us on the cross. Thank you for your Spirit that has given us utterance, understanding, and I thank you for your servants of God in various places, those in various nations that are serving God, those who are meeting for the church, who make preparations, who preach, who share God's word, who teach the Lord. You are able to lift them up. You are able to use them. You are able to protect them. You are able to reward them. You are able to meet them at their points of need, to the things that they cannot do for themselves. The Lord, you are able to do it. And Father, I praise your name. Remember family members. Remember children. Remember our loved ones. Remember those that work with us, those that we serve. The Lord, your hand shall be upon us. We rebuke every confusions of the enemy, every confusions of darkness. We scatter by fire. We bind them in the name of Jesus. And Father, our trust, our hope is in you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. May you walk with us, direct us, keep us, sustain us, and touch us in a special way, O God. We look unto you, your promises are yes and amen. Indeed, even as we go ahead and do our various things, go ahead of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Shalom, brothers and sisters. May God keep you, sustain you, and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.